Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Well, hi, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Welcome to Praying for America. Thank you so much for what you do for the country. We've got craziness going on all over the place, and I want to read for you an incredible quote from a sitting Supreme Court justice showing how absolutely out of touch she and the Democrat Party are on the First Amendment, on freedom of speech. We've talked about how they want to destroy freedom of speech. I'll give you an amazing example that I want you to remember about something that was said at the court. A lot of other things here, more insanity. I want to talk a little bit about the battle between federal and state when it comes to immigration. We'll talk to you a little bit about a victory in Wisconsin in terms of election integrity. And there have been many other victories, too, that we're going to talk about in upcoming programs. But first, going to the Word of God, as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, making America great again, saving our country, ultimately has its roots and the foundation for our confidence in the resurrection of Christ. Because in rising from the dead, he didn't only conquer his death, he conquered all death. In coming back from the grave, he overturned the kingdom of Satan, sin, falsehood, evil. He broke the power of evil. That's the sense in which, by the way, Jesus Christ is King. The proclamation, the Christian proclamation that he's King, has been getting complaints. It's gotten complaints from the beginning. That's why he was crucified. But it's caused some stir in our times once again. People think that it's some form of hate speech. But we will continue to proclaim him as King because of the event that we're going to read about again right now from the scriptures, in which we will put the other things we're going to say in context. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But their words seemed like nonsense, and they didn't believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Let us pray. Father, you have indeed broken the power of evil in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have indeed overcome the destructive powers of death and the destructive powers that are threatening America right now You have overcome them in the resurrection of your Son. Father, may we, who by faith are united with your Son and share your very life, be ever more deeply rooted in this revolutionary event of human history. And by the conquering of death and of all evil, may we not only proceed with confidence to save our nation from the grip of deceit and evil, but may we proceed with the power to make it happen, your grace working through us, your truth speaking through us, your life emanating through us and blessing the rest of the world. We ask all this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. You know, I always tell you we pray over the news on this program and we comment on it in the light of the Word of God. And this is the overall context, the lens by which to understand what's going on. When we talk about, like some of the examples I'm going to give you, all the craziness that's going on, that we see this as a battle already won. We're not just working for victory, we're working from victory. Victory is our starting point. The resurrection of Christ conquered the kingdom of evil. So we have a victory, but we still have to apply it. We still has to unfold. We have to proclaim it. We have to use the power of it to bring about the change that's needed in this world, in this nation. But this is why we do all this with confidence. This is why we don't back away from elections just because the other side steals votes. We don't back away from the culture battles just because some opinion polls show a whole bunch of people on the wrong side of the issue. We don't back away from any of this. And we don't back away from fighting for what we believe in, what we value, defending our families, our children. We don't back away from any of this. Why? Not just because we're strong people, but because of the event we just read about. This is the context for the whole thing. Okay, did you hear some weeks ago what Ketanji Brown Jackson, Supreme Court Justice that she shouldn't be, said in the Supreme Court on this censorship case that they are dealing with? You know, we know for a fact that social media companies have been pressured by the Democrats and the Biden administration to not post certain things, not say certain things. We've seen the pattern of this over and over again. Let me just read for you what she said. In the oral arguments about free speech and the assertion being made that the government shouldn't be pressuring companies like social media companies to censor content. I don't know where this woman comes from. She says, your position hamstrings the government from pressuring others about speech. I'll just let that settle with you for a moment. Your position hamstrings the government from pressuring others about speech? And this woman is a Supreme Court justice? How is it that she doesn't see the problem with what she just said? Or does she see it full well and just not believe in the First Amendment? Because the First Amendment, freedom of speech, together with the other freedoms it gives us, I should say that it recognizes that we have freedom of speech of the in the First Amendment, is exactly about hamstringing the government from pressuring speech. Does she not get that that's the whole point? That the people are free to speak or not to speak or to decide what they want to speak, and that the government is hands off. The government shall pass no law restricting the freedom of speech. What about what? Either we have a very, very serious problem here of a Supreme Court justice not understanding the very Constitution that she's sworn to uphold and that her day-to-day job is to apply to the cases that come before her. Or we have a situation of a Supreme Court justice who doesn't care about the Constitution that she's taken an oath to uphold and her day-to-day job is to apply it to the cases that come before her. Which is worse? Which is worse? The total ignorance or the total contempt? One way or another, that's what we've got going on in the Democrat Party. And I say the Democrat Party, because they're the ones causing the problem. And they're the ones putting forward Supreme Court justices like this who shouldn't be on the Supreme Court. My goodness, I mean, this is just once again, your position hamstrings the government from pressuring others about speech. In other words, your position is what the First Amendment says, is what's being said here. Your position is exactly, if you say the government shouldn't be pressuring speech, but that your position is exactly what the First Amendment says. It leaves you, brothers and sisters, just speechless and shaking your head and just, again, is it ignorance or evil? I appreciate hearing your thoughts in the comments. I think most people say it's just plain evil. They just don't care, like we've been saying. They hate the Constitution. They hate freedom of speech. This is a party. Remember, we've gone through this with the help of Mark Levin's book, The Democrat Party Hates America, that the Democrat Party's thinking here is that the government should, in fact, control thought, should, in fact, control speech, because that's its way and a condition of it controlling your life, which is the essence of the tyranny. Not freedom, but tyranny that they represent. Okay, second thing. Part of the tyranny, part of the oblivious and evil positions of the Democrat Party and the Biden administration have to do with killing babies. Now, you hear me talk about this all the time. It's my full-time work. But I want to show you a clip whereby, and it's about time we heard more from the Catholic Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Wilton Gregory. He was on TV talking about Biden's inconsistencies, claiming on the one hand to be Catholic and yet picking and choosing about which parts of the faith he wants to adhere to. Listen to this, because I also want to comment on what the other person sitting next to him, some female cleric, was also saying, kind of taking more the side of Biden. But watch this and let's comment on it.
I would say that he's very sincere about his faith. But like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
Or, as Thomas Aquinas would say, you allow your conscience to guide you.
Right? Is there something on the menu he's not ordering, in your view?
Well,
so to speak?
I would say there are things, especially in terms of the life issues, there are things that he chooses to ignore, or he uses the current situation as a political pawn rather than saying, look, my church believes this. I'm a good Catholic. I would like to believe this. Rather than to twist and turn some dimensions of the faith as a political advantage.
It's also possible to be a practitioner of the faith as a public leader and not require everyone that you lead in your country to be guided by all of the precepts of your faith, right?
And in my coverage of him, it seems That's what he believes.
That's what I would interpret.
Your concern is that he should be more explicit in his own personal belief, which is a personal opposition to abortion, but an understanding that as a public leader and in a free society, he's not to be placing that on.
So we use the term cafeteria Catholics, you know, in a, we use the term to point out the problem. All right, you can't be a cafeteria Christian. Jesus is Lord of all of my life, all of your life, all of your activities. It's not like he's Lord of these activities, but over here, these other activities are exempt from Jesus' lordship. That's obvious to anybody who acknowledges Jesus as their master and Lord. And it also is about the fact that the different truths we believe in Christianity are truths that aren't just a list of things we believe. They are a person. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And being the truth, he destroys the lies of the devil. The devil, as he said in John chapter 8, is a liar. He's a liar and a murderer, which is why Jesus is the truth and the life. The life undoing his murderous acts, the truth undoing the lies of the devil. So you can't separate. I believe this truth, it comes from Jesus. I believe this truth. I don't believe this other truth that comes from Jesus. Well, you see, then you're Lord, not him. Because if he's Lord, you're going to believe something even if you don't like it, agree with it, or understand it. That's because he's Lord. It's because he's saying so that you believe it. You trust in him, and then he wants you to understand it more. That's what theology does. You study the things you believe, but you believe them based on who it is that's telling it to you. And because this is John chapter 6. You read John chapter 6, Jesus was talking to them about the bread of life. They didn't understand what he was saying. And so many broke away from him and wouldn't follow him anymore. And he said to the apostles, will you leave me too? And Peter says at the end of John chapter 6, well, Lord, to whom shall we go? We have come to believe, we know, we are convinced, you are the Holy One of God. So in other words, Peter was saying, Lord, I'm sticking with you and with what you said because of who you are, not because of my having understood it or not. Because then the center of gravity is still you rather than him. But if the center of gravity is him, then, well, Lord, what you tell me, I will follow. So it's interesting with these pro-abortion politicians. You know, a lot of them want to receive communion. Now, you know, we believe in the Catholic Church. The communion is the body of Christ. How is it that these pro-abortion politicians are willing to believe that and not willing to believe what is even more discernible from human reason, which is that the baby in the womb is a baby? But then you saw the female cleric next to him saying, when Cardinal Gregory was talking about, oh, well, you know, it's picking and choosing, you know, and she says, or conscience. No, that's not what conscience is. Conscience is not some kind of separate source of morality, commandments, teachings, or right and wrong. Conscience is simply your mind applying what you know to be right or wrong to the next decision that you're about to make. That's conscience. It's not some kind of magical voice. So what the other person next to the cardinal was trying to assert is a bunch of nonsense, where if you think what it means is that in conscience you can pick and choose among the teachings of the church. Sure, you don't want to believe one of the teachings, you can't follow one of the teachings, but then you have to be, it's just a matter of integrity. Be honest and say, hey, I don't really believe in the church, and stop calling yourself a practicing Catholic. On the other hand, if you have an informed conscience, see, the question is not just, oh, it's conscience. Conscience is your mind. Your mind either has right ideas or wrong ideas. Your mind is either informed or it's uninformed about what the teachings are. There's no question of what the church's teachings are on abortion and the right to life of the baby. Biden doesn't accept that. So be honest about it. Don't try to defend what you're doing based on conscience, because otherwise you're just saying, again, that you're God, not him. I don't have to accept your teachings, Lord, because I'll just appeal to my own mind to determine what I have to follow and what I don't. All right, on to the next thing. The insanity of the left. This comes from Gary Bauer, one of his recent reports. Now, nearly 70% of American people do not want boys in girls' sports. It's cheating. It's lying. It's unjust to the young women who have been training and competing for years for a life goal in sports. It's discrimination, and it's also dangerous. Now, you would think that with such a strong majority of the public, you know, Ronald Reagan used to say, you know, politics is simple, you know, take an issue that vast majority of the public supports, stand next to it and smile. We talk about the 80% issues. Right? This is one of them. You get up to 70, 80% of the public agreeing with something, you're in a political strong spot. Yeah, you stand with that, you smile. Hey, folks, here's what I stand for. A politician would have to be insane to reject a position like this. And yet, what happened? Last week, 51 wacko senators voted against the protection of women and girls in sports. Well, this is already, it wasn't last week, a few weeks ago. The Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. The insanity of the radical left. The insanity. All right, I want to tell you about a victory in Wisconsin. Now, there have been a number of victories when it comes to election integrity. ProLifeVote.com, ProLifeVote.com. That's our election website. We want to urge you to get involved, and we will on this program obviously continue to give very practical talking points, action points for the election. But we do additional trainings in depth when you sign up over there at that website, and we post a lot of information helpful to you. But one of the areas, of course, that we're all concerned about and working on is precisely election integrity. And I wanted to give you this good news out of Wisconsin. Most of you have likely seen this already. But the voters in Wisconsin, now Wisconsin, key, crucial state in the 2024 elections, voted, the voters agreed to a constitutional amendment the other day that the Republicans put forward to deal with Zuckerbucks, money, grants, special grants going to the election from people like Mark Zuckerberg. It happened in 2020 numerous times in numerous places. This kind of private grant money to fund elections will now be banned in Wisconsin. Now, since 2020, and we saw the impact that this had, in at least 27 states, that's more than half the states, Republicans have either outlawed or restricted this kind of private election grant. Let's review a little bit about what happened. There was also another part to this victory in Wisconsin. We'll get to that. Democrats opposed this. Not a single Democrat voted for this. But the constitutional amendment was in response to what happened in 2020. The Center for Tech and Civic Life, a liberal group that fights for voter access, received a $300 million donation from Zuckerberg and his wife to help election officials. Okay, so this is how they put it forth. We're going to help election officials buy supplies and run elections while this COVID-19 pandemic is raging. But what were the results? The state's five largest cities received $8.8 million out of a $10 million Wisconsin grant, which was part of a $350 million grant nationwide. And all of those five cities were won by a certain Joe Biden. I wonder what a coincidence that must have been, that the Zuckerbucks, the bulk of it went to Democrat strongholds. Democrat stronghold. What a surprise. Not a single Democrat voted for this amendment, but it passed. The second part of it, so banning the Zuckerbucks, a big part of election integrity. A second part of this is an amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution that puts into the Constitution something that's already in the law. So in other words, it strengthens it, makes it harder to change. Namely, only election officials can administer elections. How, what a strange idea. Isn't it true with so many of these ideas? When you see what Republican lawmakers are pushing, what election integrity efforts are trying to achieve, it's like, it reminds me of what President Trump always says when people ask him, are you governing as a conservative? He says, I'm governing as common sense. Common sense. This is common sense. Only election officials can administer elections. Oh, I thought the local veterinarian or, I don't know, maybe the auto mechanic or the local plumber should administer elections because, after all, they have skills in plumbing. Common sense! But the cheating in elections is precisely when common sense goes out the window so that evil can enter in, lying, cheating, and stealing. Only election officials can actually administer elections. Okay. God bless Wisconsin for doing this. I'm going to report in some of the upcoming programs next week about some election integrity victories in other places as well that we should know about, we should applaud. And here's the other thing, and one of the reasons I bring this up. We've got to encourage our fellow voters. Now, in order to encourage them with information like this, we have to know the information. Here's what I'm saying. We have got to turn out in mega numbers in a way, like President Trump says, that's too big to rig. Turning out for Christian Visibility Day, November 5th, but not just on November 5th. Don't wait till November 5th. Your state has early voting. You vote on the first day of early voting is the best way to do it. But the point is, in order to have that, we've got to completely overcome, we've got to eradicate any kind of notion, any kind of feeling that, oh, well, the other side is going to cheat, so I'm not going to participate. What do you mean you're not going to participate? So you're going to hand to them the victory that they're trying to steal? There's not three options here, brothers and sisters. There's two. We either fight in order to win, or we hand over the victory to the other side. There's no middle ground here. We can't say, oh, well, it's because they're cheating that I'm not going to vote. That is so absolutely intolerable for us right now. And one of the things we need to do, therefore, is increase the sense of confidence among those voters who might fall into that temptation. And one of the ways we can increase their confidence is precisely by spreading the news of stories like that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray for America tonight. First of all, Lord God, deliver us from justices and judges that don't know the Constitution. Deliver us, Lord God, we pray today. What is going on at the Supreme Court? That we have a justice who apparently either is completely oblivious to the meaning of or has contempt for freedom of speech as defined by our Constitution. God, deliver us. Deliver us from this. Deliver us from judges at any level of government, any place across the United States. Judges who don't believe in the Constitution, judges who don't know the Constitution, judges who have contempt for the Constitution. God, we pray right now for deliverance. Your people in slavery in Egypt prayed for deliverance. We here in America, we have another type of slavery. Free us from the shackles. Free us from the damage that is done by people who are so absolutely unfit for the positions in which they sit right now. Deliver us, Lord God. We also pray, O Lord, for election integrity. We thank you for the Legislators and voters of Wisconsin, we thank you for these efforts that are being made, not only in Wisconsin, but the 27 other states that have banned the Zuckerbuck money and so many other efforts, hundreds of other efforts that have advanced far beyond where we were in 2020, that have advanced election integrity. We pray, Lord God, against insanity tonight. You are the God of reason. You are the God of truth. But Lord, we live in the midst of insanity when we have senators voting for boys and women's sports. It's insanity. God of truth, God of reason, descend upon us. Send your spirit and deliver us from evil. Lord, we pray for one another tonight. We pray for all the good efforts being made by so many who are watching. We pray for President Trump and his team. We pray for all our needs and intentions. Provide for us. Continue to show your love for us in the constant answering of our prayers. Now we pray, my friends, in the words that Jesus gave us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, friends, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Talk to you again on Monday. Please let other people know about this program. You can help us continue to grow our online audience, which is growing, but there's some people only you can reach, and I'd rely on you to do that. Let's continue praying for America. Let's win this country back. Let's win these elections, and let's do it in the name of Jesus our Lord and with his grace and his joy. Talk to you soon.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Associate Director of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor. Or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.